Hi, I'm Maria Thea Harris of Rello Sews on social media. Welcome back to Sew Over 50 podcast on Sew Organized Style. Grab a cuppa and relax with us.
We show as well, so this show and tell is really great. You can show them, I've done this, what do you think? Or, hey, look, I'm doing this now, what's my next step? You know, should I do this? That's like gold, like it really is gold. That's about a group of people coming together for one reason, which is to do something and to learn from each other, you know, and to support each other. I just love that.
That's Kay, who is a volunteer at the Nest community. Thank you to the Patreon supporters of Sew Organized Style podcast. Your monthly contribution keeps me producing these episodes for free. Sew Over 50 intersects with all communities. We're a community that is sew over ageism. We're positively leading, being visible in the sewing world. Collaboration and connection are the key themes that you'll hear in today's podcast. This is the second episode about the Nest community in Brendale, Queensland. In the first episode, Roz Holt talked about the Nest community, how it began and how it's been growing strongly. Roz briefly talked about the volunteers and the exchange program. In today's episode, we'll hear from Kay and Sarah, two volunteers at the Nest community, as well as Joe. Joe is a high school teacher from Mitchelton High School in Brisbane, and she's been bringing students to the Nest community to take part in the exchange program since 2021. Let's listen to Kay tell her volunteer story. So have you been volunteering today?
Yes, I have. I've been team leader. Most of the time I've been sorting wool.
Okay.
And getting wool sorted and bagged and weighed and priced and that sort of thing and out on the shelves. So that's been what I've been focusing on today.
Is your background knitting?
Oh, yes, it is actually. I do a lot of knitting and I do a lot of crocheting and I do a lot of wool, but it's a bit hot up here to do that all year round. So you have to have multiple projects going.
So when you started at the Nest, how did you find out about them?
Okay, that's an interesting story. I had retired and we were starting to travel. We were in a caravan. I was out at St. George and these two beautiful ladies, sisters, came up to me and asked me what I was doing, and I was crocheting at that stage.
Okay.
And they said to me, so do you know about the Nest? And I went, no, what's the Nest? So they introduced me to it by saying, come along and see what you can do. Do you like to sew? And I went, yes. Do you like to patchwork? And I went, yes, I'm starting that way now. So they were lovely. And their two ladies now are on the same shift that I'm on. So they're on the same team, the Tuesday ladies. So it's lovely. So we meet up all the time now. And we talk camping as well as traveling, as well as sewing and patchwork and any other form of craft going. So it was lovely. So out at St. George, and Nest got a mention.
And now the three of you are the Tuesday ladies.
Yes, we're part of the team, yes. There's about 10 of us on Tuesday, so it's a busy day.
In the earlier podcast, Roz talked to us about getting people into the Nest to volunteer. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience about that?
After Jenny told me about the Nest, I just rocked up on the first Wednesday I could.
Yep.
And just wandered in when it was opened and had a look around and went, oh, my gosh. Touched all the fabric, like the fabric, feel of fabric was just wonderful. So touched all that and then approached the team leader on the day. Her name was Kay too, so we sort of like hit it off and said to her, what do you do here? And she explained and then she said, you should volunteer. And I went, uh-huh, so how do I do that? And at that stage it was really easy. Just walk upstairs and talk to Gwen or Roz and fill in a form. So I did that. While I was up there, they said, do you want to come back? And I said, yep. And they said, what day would suit? And I said, Wednesday probably. And that was it. So I didn't have any of that, the way that we've gone ahead and done the onboarding now. I was just sort of like, Glenn said, yeah, come on in. You just come into this group basically, and was accepted and welcome. So the next Wednesday I turned up and it became my Wednesday. I became a Wednesday volunteer.
I called you the Tuesday ladies, not the Wednesday ladies.
No. I'm a Tuesday lady now. Over the last 2 or 3 years, I've been developing different skills, obviously, and they were looking for a new team leader on a Tuesday because the team leader was ill.
Yeah.
And I said to my current team leader, what do you reckon? She said, I think you're ready, Kay, to step up. And I said, okay, I'll put my hand up. And then that's how come I've become a team leader on a Tuesday.
Do you find that the shift from being a hands-on volunteer to a team leader, was that a big shift for you?
Not really, because the ladies are really lovely and you just need to start to talk to them about what they wanted to do. And there's always work or jobs or little tasks that fits in with what they want to do. And I just asked them, I said, so what do you want to do? Who wants to be on the cash register? Who wants to do sorting? Who wants to roll fabric? It just all sort of flows really lovely, basically. And that's how it works. And so even today I said to them, what do you want to do? We've got this and this and this, and these are the tasks we want to do. What do you think? Is there anyone that's willing to do the register? Because we had a lady down today. You know, I had two people say, look, I'd like to give it a go. So we had two people that we started to train up, because the aim is to have everybody able to do everything and for their collective knowledge to grow, because we've got experts, but we all want to learn a little bit more about each other and about the particular skills. So we've got a lady today whose fabric knowledge is amazing. And so I use that as the way of going, well, come and tell me what this is, what fabric's this? Because I'm a touch and feel person. I have to feel it.
Yeah.
Got to feel it. And I say, oh, gee, it feels so beautiful. That's what we do. So we have conversations while we're rolling fabric or talking about it, about what the fabric is, what we would do with it, what it would look like, that sort of thing. And the same with any of the different notions that came in. Like we had that zigzag rickrack, all in bright colours. And it was like, oh, my gosh, look at that. I haven't seen it for ages. So we had a big conversation about how we used it when we were growing up, what items we had it onto, and how much is being used now for Tay-Tay's outfits, basically. Girls were coming in buying fabric to make their outfits to wear to Taylor Swift. And in it, they were putting all this rickrack all over it. So it's all like, wow. So it's gone, that loop. So we learn a lot about what's out there and what's in the shop from each other.
That way you also pass it on to people who come in to the shop and ask questions.
Yes, we do. There's some younger people coming through, so we show them and talk to them about what they can do and how they can do things differently. Like even putting a zipper in a skirt, for example, there's many different ways of doing that. So there's always somebody in the volunteer nest that can come out and show them. Oh, a lady came in today. She's making one of those tote bags, but she's quilting it. And so she wanted to have the wadding that goes in between, but she wanted a particular type of wadding.
Right.
And it wasn't in the sort of form that she expected it to be in, but we showed her what she could use and she took that away with the amount that she needed. So that's sort of some of the learnings and the fun that we have as well. Her bag's going to look marvellous, basically, with what she does with it. So we see that sort of stuff coming through. It's lovely. You get an idea about the type of sewing that people are doing.
When someone comes in and they'll buy something specific, do they sometimes come back into the store and try to give back the rest of what they've bought?
Sometimes they do, yes. So if they buy too much, or they've gone back home and they've looked at their stash and they've gone, oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to use that anymore. I'm not going to do that now. They know then they bring their donations in. So we get a lot of that coming in. Or their mother or their aunt or, I don't know, somebody in their family has stopped doing what they're doing. They say, can you take this? So we package it up nicely and it gets sold and someone else goes away and sure enough, they come back and they're wearing something that they've bought at the nest. What I've got on today came in as a unfinished project. It was a dress that didn't have a collar on. It was a really long, long dress. So I cut the bottom of it off and made sleeves. Had to reset the collar and reset the neckline because it just looked pretty ordinary. Put a few darts in so to make it fit me, and all for sort of like $10. And it gave me an appreciation for, oh, I can sew, I can do this. So out of that came my confidence again about sewing. When you work full-time and you're not doing sewing every day, your ability to rectify things goes. You want to be fast and finish stuff, but you don't because you haven't been practicing enough, so you can't finish it quickly. So then all of a sudden it just becomes, and you roll it up, put it in the drawer and go, yeah, I'll leave that till later. My confidence is gone. And I bought some beautiful fabrics, but I wanted to sort of test myself again. So I came back into the nest and now I can. Like the fabrics, I can buy a cheap fabric, play around with it. My sewing skills have really escalated now and they've gone right back up to where they should be.
Once you stop working full-time or if you don't work full-time, you don't have those everyday connections that you would normally have when you are working full-time. So it's actually quite a good environment to keep socially connected, and that's part of what the nest is all about.
That reinforcing that you are a worthwhile person. We rarely talk about our background, so we don't know who's done what, basically. That doesn't matter. We rarely talk about our family because we're always talking about the craft and things that's going on in front of us, basically, and what we can learn from that. And then we bring it back and we show people. We show as well. So this show and tell is really great. We can show them, I've done this. What do you think? Or, hey, look, I'm doing this now. What's my next step? You know, should I do this? That's like gold. Like it really is gold. That's about a group of people coming together for one reason, which is to do something and to learn from each other, you know, and to support each other. I just love that.
We talked about how you found out about the community. So, Kate, how long have you been a volunteer at the Nest?
It must be 5 or 6 years, maybe.
So what did you seek when you first started as a volunteer at the Nest?
Just a connection, getting back of confidence of using fabric, and then just to see what was possible. It's a really interesting process how You go, okay, and you talk and you chat, and you go, well, that was really good. Come back next week and you chat a little bit more, you learn a little bit more, you find out a little bit more that's coming in. All of a sudden, you don't realize that you're hooked. It's like, yeah, I have to come back. I've got to come back and get my nest fix every week, you know. I've got to meet these people, I've got to have a chat to them, I've got to see what's coming in, I've got to work out what I can do. And so 9 times out of 10, I'll take something home that I bought. It'll come home with me because I've come in and I've gone, yeah, I just think I need that. That particular piece of fabric just needs to come home with me.
Well, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Okay.
It'll probably all come back, you know, like it'll be a period of time, I reckon, when a fair bit of that's going to come back.
Yeah. What skills do you bring to the table?
I've come in with an organisational change background. So I did large-scale organisational changes for big public sector organisations and large organisations in my career. So there's that whole skill set of focusing on the strategy side, working out how you make it operational. That's the skill set that Roz eventually found out I had. That was sort of like when she started to talk to me about her vision and her strategy for going forward. That evolved into me working with the board. There was, at that stage, there was a board member who knew of my background. So she was comfortable with me coming on and helping them work through the governance side of it, work through what their strategy was going forward, working through how to strengthen what had started to be developed. I just started to facilitate whole policy sessions and got them to think about it. We built a new constitution, and that meant that we moved from being an associated organisation through to being a limited company. Back in my previous career, I had done some of that sort of work as well with large organisations and with charity organisations where we set up constitutions and set up management committees. So that was sort of like one of the skill sets that I was bringing forward.
And now you're secretary of the board.
Yeah, so that process evolved June, July last year. I rocked in and I was ready to go onto the board and become a director. I was doing all the secretarial work. So it was a matter of just going, okay, let's see where that leads. And that's meant that now for the next 12 months, I will work that process through for them basically and get all that embedded so that we've got that whole secretary of the company in place. It's lovely. We've got a really great board of people. They're really collaborative. I love that. That's the other thing about the Nest. Everyone's collaborative. It's lovely when you come across an organisation that's really happy to be like that. You know, they don't want to be one up on you. They don't want to be the boss. They don't want to tell you what to do, but they just want to listen to what you've got. Then they encourage you that way. My skill set as well, that's something I can bring with me, and I bring how to collaborate. That has worked really well.
And then the only other part that Roz talked about was moving from the previous location at the cottage through to the shed. What's that been like for you?
Well, I missed a fair bit of that because I was travelling. I came at the last stages. So before I went, I seeded some ideas about what they needed to think about. And I had talked to Roz about change over that, like, the last 18 months leading up to it. So when I rocked back in, all I had to do was to go, okay, what have you got me in charge of? What's our team doing on the Tuesday? So I think we operated for maybe 2 or 3 weeks open. Then we closed for 2 or 3 weeks. Wool was sort of like my lot. I said, look, how about I take the wool? My team packed the wool up and we unpacked the wool. So every one of the groups picked up a particular item to sort of like focus on. Everyone focused on fabric. That was sort of like we knew then that someone had that in control. Mm. And then we just moved in here, and Roz has taken the vision and the idea. It's an amazing place. So when you're up here, you need to come and visit, please, please.
Yep. But also what's been able to be achieved by everybody who works in a collaborative environment.
Absolutely. And that's why we're a community. We're a community of about 130 volunteers.
Yep.
And we come together just to bring this alive. So when the customers come in, we greet them, we have a chat to them. And that's what I love, you know, going out and seeing what they're doing and why they're here and whether it's their first time and where they found us. And we've had a variety of people from all over. And it's lovely to hear their stories and what they're focusing on and what they're looking for. And then if they can't find it on the floor, like today it was zips. I want a particular size zip in a particular colour. I said, well, wasn't on the shelf. I said, let me go and have a look at the bag. And sure enough, we got zips out the bag. And I could bring her out a handful and say, is this what you're looking for? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great. That's what we're trying to build. And that's how we do it collaboratively. It's all about, I haven't got all the knowledge. I've got some knowledge, but there's other ladies that have got some knowledge too. And by the time we come together, we've built it and we've all got this wonderful developing set of knowledge about all the items that are out there.
Well, Kate, thank you for telling us about what the experience has been like for you as a volunteer who heard about the Nest while you were travelling around Australia and are now on the board.
Interesting.
Interesting journey. And you're still doing what you do every day. You're still able to travel, but you come in and you have a really good time with the volunteers and helping people who are coming into the store just to find out what's going on every day and what's available.
And I love that. And we've got a board meeting this Thursday, and that's a different level of knowledge. So that allows me to think a lot more strategic for the direction here. So you've heard me talk a whole pile about operational, day-to-day stuff, what I get out of it from that. But there's a lot I get out of it at the strategic level as well, and working across the finances, across the risks that we do, and across our strategic direction and where that's likely to go as well. We're more than just minute takers. So yeah, I find myself very lucky, very fortunate to be where I am.
Now we'll hear from Sarah, who has volunteered at the Nest community for over 8 years. You can find Sarah on Instagram at Pickles Goes to Market. How long have you been a volunteer at the Nest, and how did you find out about the Nest community?
I've been a volunteer here at the Nest coming on 8 years now. I found out about it. I was quite socially isolated at that time, 8 years ago. Never had any kids, living alone in a tiny place, by the way, a little studio, and running my own small business from home. So I wasn't even going to the workplace and talking with other people in the workplace.
Oh, okay.
Apart from when I went to the markets, I sold my handmade things at markets mainly. So I Googled, I knew what my interests were, like art and creativity and a couple of other things. I did some Googling, and that's how I came across the Nest.
What did you seek when you first started as a volunteer at the Nest?
To get out of the house and be interacting with other people, because obviously, as I explained, my situation before was my primary motivation in volunteering in the community.
What were your roles or your duties as a volunteer?
I've mainly volunteered in the haberdashery because I've been here for so long, and when we first started out, I've done a lot of things over that time. I started out measuring, pricing and rolling fabric onto to bolts and rolls, sorting and pricing different notions and yarn, alongside helping customers, just greeting them when they came in, and are they looking for anything in particular, and the point of sale at the till. One of my strengths is I'm really great at taking ownership of and completing projects. I was coming in 3 days a fortnight at that time too. So because I was there quite often, it was worked out well to give me a job and have me focus on it, and I could get it done. So I did that with organising displays and systems for zips and embroidery threads, and I've become a sewing pattern person. That's my favourite job and what I usually do when I come in to volunteer. Yeah, I mainly sort the patterns now, found my little niche.
Now that you've found your niche, how did you learn about the sewing patterns?
I guess it was a project given to me because they had a display and they wanted it tidied and sorted. So that's how I got into it. I did already know how to sew, which is important, you know, that you enjoy whatever role you end up in the haberdashery, but then also you have to know something about it. And it's been really interesting. Some of the patterns that I've come across have just been amazing. I really do enjoy it.
Anyone in particular that stands out to you? Any pattern in particular that it came across the desk and you thought, oh my goodness?
Well, I do hundreds a day. That's a really hard question. But I've seen some amazing 1940s patterns specifically. You know, they've got the sharp angled line collars and the tight waists and the tight long skirts, some with brook shields on the front. I just saw a Marie Osmond pattern. So you're just constantly surprised left field because we get so much. And things from my childhood, that odd things that like strawberry shortcake is around again, I know. You're always surprised every day at what you find.
I've heard that you're also involved with the workshop program.
Yeah, I am. Something that I learned in volunteering here was teaching. I have a broad range of creative skills and I can paint and draw and do all sorts of things, but it's a really different story teaching other people how to do it. Like knowing how to do it yourself is one thing, but then you've got to communicate to other people and then work with them in the way that they know how and different approaches that might work for them. And I was actually quite nervous when I first did my first couple of workshops because it was a very new experience. But yeah, I love it. I really love it because it's my joy. Art and creativity has just brought so much to my life that being able to share that with others is just my passion.
Because you've been associated with the Nest community for 8 years, you've gotten a lot out of it personally.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I am still coming here 8 years later because I love it. Otherwise, I wouldn't still be coming. I'd be volunteering somewhere else. It's a wonderful organisation. It was really small when I first started, but it hasn't changed in that sense of community, providing those low-cost resources. Amazing, especially now with the cost of living. It's great on all fronts, great for people volunteering, connecting with each other. I've learned a lot skills-wise volunteering here, like, oh, I'm stuck on this particular fancy covered zip on this designer Vogue. I just can't get it, and another volunteer will be able to figure it out. And it is a really lovely place to volunteer. Why I'm here so long, though some places, you know, don't have that wonderful warmth and positivity. I have volunteered at a lot of organisations over the years, and I can honestly say that this is the best one I've ever volunteered at.
Sarah, thank you for sharing your story about what you've gained out of being a volunteer at the Nest community. That warmth and that openness has continued on since the first day you started there.
Yeah, and I have no doubt, I hope and I have no doubt it does continue on for years to come.
Now we'll hear from Jo. She teaches at Mitchelton High School in Brisbane, and students there have been supported by the Nest community, taking part in the exchange program since 2021. When did you hear about the exchange program?
I had a couple of friends at the gym that I go to.
Yeah.
They were volunteers at the Nest. I was keen to get some students on board to do some work experience.
Yep.
And just rang Roz and just mentioned to her, you know, is there any flexibility there for the kids from Mitchie High to connect with the Nest and send some students along for some work experience in the shop? And that's when she said, oh, have you heard about the exchange program? So then she spoke to me about that, and I thought, oh, well, that sounds really good. I'd have a few kids that'd be, you know, interested in coming along. So then the school was on board, and we probably started about 3 years ago coming from Mitchelton High School to the Nest.
And what are their age ranges from the school?
So from grade 7 through to grade 12.
So that would be what?
From their 11 through to 17.
A lot of time when I talk to people who do craft would have started at about that age.
Yeah, it's nice. Some of the students have done craft activities with their mums or their grandmas.
Yeah.
But then we've just had students to start this term that have never been on a sewing machine before. So yeah, so we've just got a variety of students. And I've got one student that's comes, you know, the last 2 years, and she's just fixated and she wants to do jewellery design. Yeah, so it's a very flexible environment for the students to pursue in different areas that they're interested in.
Talk me through what happens in each session when the girls come to visit the Nest community.
When we first come at the start of each term, sometimes I might have a group of new students as well. So the volunteers just sit down with them probably for about 20 minutes, and there's a PowerPoint that they run through with them, why the Nest was actually created and the work that the ladies do, and they give them a tour of the facility as well, behind the scenes too, so they know that, you know, a lot of work goes into, you know, the volunteers and, you know, all the donations that they go through, sift through every day. It's really nice that each of the ladies then spend some time and just explain to the students what their interest is. They might be interested in embroidery, knitting. You might be an expert in how to crochet. And it's nice because each of the ladies have got their sort of interests that they like to do. You know, over the term, you get to see that they're learning from each other as well, which is really nice. And, you know, even if one of the students says that they'd like to learn something, the ladies would be there in their own time, you know, Googling, you know, on YouTube, trying to find out, you know, how to make it happen, which is really nice. Yeah, then they'll be sifting through the donations and to seeing if they could come up with a project for the students the following week that, you know, was based on their own interest.
As part of the exchange program, from the students' point of view, do you get them to journal their time at the exchange program?
Each week the students tick off, the ladies have done up just a double-sided sheet, and they just work through over the course of, you know, the time that we're here, whether it be a term or a semester, different activities that they can be involved in. One week they might be doing sewing, and then the next week they sort of might mix it up. So they start ticking things off that, you know, might be basic, you know, they haven't been on a sewing machine, and then they go through the process of different things.
Have you got any students who are in the exchange program who had been in the exchange program in the previous location of the Nest to the current location at Brendale?
Yeah, there's a couple of students that are keen to come each term that we come out.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's nice to have seen the progression from, you know, the old Queenslander to the new facility out here at Brendale. It's a huge change. It's so new and inviting for everybody. Still a nice feel to it as well, which is great. And the shop looks amazing as well. Yeah, it looks like a real shop. Yeah, they're all still well-loved items in there being sold.
Yeah, and you'd probably get a wider range of items that are available because they're no longer being made. They've been donated from years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I think the ladies have said a few times that a lot of the items might come from a deceased estate.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might be decades old that are, you know, being donated. And it's just lovely even for the kids to look through the buttons. You know, you could spend a half an hour looking at all the different types of buttons that have been donated. And, you know, some of them have used that for some of their craft activities as well.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the ladies this morning said, we've got all these beads. What are we going to do with all these beads? So they were online looking at YouTube and having all different craft activities the kids could incorporate using the beads as well.
It sounds like the students and the volunteers at the Nest are working together to be creative together.
The kids are encouraged to come up with their own ideas. We had a student a couple of years ago, her uniform couldn't fit her anymore. And instead of donating it, they upcycled it and they made it into a bag, which was really cool.
Wow.
The kids are coming up with these ideas and, you know, I suppose the beauty of the internet now, they get on Pinterest and things like that to have a look at different projects. And the current students too, last term they were looking at toys as well. So this went from scratch, came up with a design and, you know, made toys, something tangible, which is nice too that they can take home. Mm. But a big part of the exchange project too is for the students to make something and donate it back to the Nest, and they can sell it on when they have their sales at, you know, the shops and stuff at Brookside and places like that.
What are some of the other outcomes that the girls gain from the exchange program?
At the start of each term, I approach teachers at school. I might go up to the Montessori space at school and just say, have you got any students that would benefit from the exchange program? You know, does anyone need, you know, just an outlet? You know, because we come for 2 hours. So 2 hours out of school, that might, you know, already exhibit some creativity at school as well. So I know the Montessori program at school, they've already got sewing machines that the kids can access. So some of the kids have had some, you know, background exposure to sewing, and then some of them haven't. But some of them, you know, the Monty teacher might say, oh, this kid's really creative. And when I have a chat to them, they go, oh, yeah, I've, you know, their friend's already been previous year and they'd like to get on board and to come along as well. So yeah, it's just a nice growth in the students, because a lot of them, not all of them, may not like going to school, but there's a high attendance rate when we get to the Nest, which is great to see. Yeah, so normally we'd have 8 students. Yeah, most weeks, so we've got 8 today, so 100%, which is really good. Yeah, because some kids might say to me, oh, I didn't really want to come to school today, but I'm here because I want to go to the Nest.
So that noise that we can hear in the background, is that the girls at the exchange program?
They're probably having a little break now too. We stopped, which is really nice, for afternoon tea as well.
Yeah.
We bring along a little bit of food, and some of the volunteers, the ladies, bring some food as well, and they sit down and have, it's really nice, they have a cup of tea or a coffee together and something to eat. And it's nice because that craft conversation might still continue, or they might just branch off and just talk about other things as well, you know, that's happening in their lives, and just having a chat, which is really nice. The ladies that are volunteering their time, they're all different walks of lives. I mean, and different ages as well. It's not just, you know, grandmas, it's, you know, young people as well that are coming in to mentor the students as well.
As their facilitator, what do you personally get out of this?
I think it's nice to see the kids transform over the term. They're keen to come again, which is really nice.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, when do we start again? Can I come back? Because they've just got that passion there, and you can just see them transform. And some of them are, you know, typically quiet students as well. When they're here, they might be interacting with the ladies and having a chat with them. It's nice to see that they get excited about coming. You know, and there's the benefits there of them, you know, interacting and, you know, improving their communication and social skills. That's probably one of the main things. And, yeah, just interacting with people as well of a different age group, because not everyone might have typical family setting as well.
Yeah.
Or access to grandparents, which is really nice for them to, yeah, to be able to develop relationships with people other than their peers. I just think it's a great opportunity for people to be involved, and the schools as well. Our school's been great to, you know, let us come along every week and be part of the program, which, you know, Roz does an amazing job linking in with us and making us feel welcome every week, which is great.
Jed, thanks for taking time out while the students are there and having their time at the exchange program at the Nest.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Many thanks to Joe, Kay and Sarah for giving us their time to tell us about their involvement at the Nest Committee, because now we've heard what it means to them personally as well as what it means to the local community. Sandy of Sober 50 was integral in bringing Ros Holt and the team members who have been involved in making these two episodes for Soul of an Lifestyle podcast. But thank you so much, Sandy, for introducing me to Ros Holt and Grace at Brisbane Frocktails last year. Next time you visit Brisbane in Queensland, drop in at the Nest Community and have a chat to the volunteers and look through all of the fabric and notions that are available when you visit. This episode of So Organized Style Podcast for Sober 50 was produced by me, Maria Theoharis, with permission of Ros Holt, sound by bensound.com. If you want to provide a guest post for Sober 50, make sure you direct message Sandy at the Sober 50 account on Instagram. Many thanks for the ongoing support of the podcast Patreon contributors. Their ongoing support each month enables me to develop this podcast for free. You can subscribe to Soul Organized Style Podcast, but with an S, not a Z, on all good podcast apps. Make sure you go back and listen to our free Sober 50 podcast archive. And if you can, please consider supporting the production of this podcast on Patreon. We look forward to joining you in your sewing room next time. Stay safe, everyone.